to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Join me now, won't you, as we get together with friends, as we celebrate the Mono no Aware of home recording, as we celebrate the release of Butchie Spinoza's new book, God for the Suplexed.
Welcome to the Hotel Hilbert.
Are you the desk clerk?
No, I'm a... Wait, no, I am.
I have a reservation.
Name?
Baruch Butchie Spinoza.
Age?
Reason. Of reason.
Occupation?
Opportunist slash rationalist.
Hobbies?
Lens grinding.
Pets?
One, a dog, Spiny.
Any living relatives?
No, none. I have an adopted uncle in Pittsburgh.
Place of birth?
Tabletop.
Children?
None.
Parents' names?
Mike and Anne.
Father's profession?
Seller of pants and such.
Mother's profession.
Dead housewife.
Beg pardon?
She died when I was little, so I have no idea.
Reason for stay?
I'm writing a travel guide of the unconscious.
Well, we have you down for our Holberg suite.
Sweet.
We had to move some people around, but we managed. How long will you be staying?
As long as it takes, brother.
Wonderful. Here's your key.
Well, that's a half-eaten donut.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay, then here.
A little scrap of paper.
Listen, do you want a key or not?
Fine. Well, what if I need toilet paper or a knife?
Just call down to the front desk and we'll reason with you.
Sounds good.
Take the blue elevator down the hall.
Gotcha. Blue elevator. Blue elevator. There's a red one. Ah, okay. Three elevators and three shades of blue. Which one is mine? I'll just pick the color I like. This nice, deep sapphire color looks good. And I'm in a candle shop. Oh, and they have wicker baskets and wreaths. Oh, joy.
Butchie? Butchie Spinoza?
Weird guy? Weird guy I don't know?
It's me, Bobby, from nursery school.
Nursery school?
Man, you haven't changed one bit.
I think go to hell?
What are you doing in heaven?
Heaven? This stinky place?
It's heaven. I just got here, I think. What a beautiful place, eh? Wonderful smells and so many lovely things.
I guess.
So what have you been up to? The last time I saw you, you were throwing a block at some husky kid.
Was I?
The block was one of those with a letter on it. I think it was a C.
I threw the C at a kid? The C.
Aye, Captain. Nothing gets past you.
It's a vast place, isn't it?
What did I do?
What?
You said a vast.
Yes, I said the sea is a vast place.
Ah.
What did you think I said?
At sea, a vast means stop.
Oh, I had no idea.
I was wondering.
You're not even doing anything. You must have been very confused.
I was, Captain. I was all, what did I do?
No, no, no. I was merely observing that the ocean is a very big, big in all directions sort of place. So easy to lose one's way.
Indeed.
But we know where we're going, don't we?
The No Man's Islands.
Yes, indeed, and we are on course.
Let's hope so.
Hope? We know we're on course.
As well as we can know such a thing.
But we're navigating, right?
We're what now?
We are navigating with instruments. We know where we are, of course.
Not right at this moment, sir. But we're hopeful the fates will bring us to our destination.
But we have maps.
Yes.
So we know where we are on the map.
Well, once we get out here without landmarks, the maps are much harder to use. Just a lot of blue space, frankly. Like you said, vast.
Wait. We chart our course using the stars, right?
That's mainly an evening thing. And to be frank, most of us are bunked down by then because of all the work we do during the day, swabbing and all.
But the sextant.
Beautiful piece of equipment.
Yes, I acquired it in the Bahamas.
We keep it well polished, Captain.
But we're using it, right?
I think because you got it used, there's no instruction book. The little telescope part is useful, but the numbers and all, confusing.
Oh my God, what's wrong with you people? You there, what are you doing in our apple barrel? The book Treasure Island left an indelible impression on me as a kid. But you two are the worst pirates ever. Well, perhaps you could do better. I could. I'll be your new captain. Well, normally I would challenge you, but I have to concede defeat in this case.
Let's go below, and you can look at our map and see if you recognize any of these waves upon it.
After you.
Butchie, were you just on top of the train?
I guess.
Listen, I think we're train detectives.
We are train inspectors.
Well, I'm gonna go inspect the train. You coming?
No, I'll stay here. I'm working on a travel guide to the unconscious.
Okay, cool.
Good morning.
Morning.
Where are you headed?
No idea.
Wish I could say that. I'm headed to Shinjuku Station.
Tokyo?
Yes. You're not?
Well, I didn't think so.
Yes. I plan to visit my son. He's an important executive there.
How nice.
Funny how things work out. He was a terrible student.
Yeah, look, I'm gonna have to ask you to shut up because you're annoying me.
I worked two jobs to pay for his schooling. So if I get there and it turns out he isn't a successful executive, I will be bitterly disappointed.
Uh-huh.
But I guess we shouldn't expect too much of our children.
You do you, buddy.
May I ask you to hold this for me for a minute? I need to retrieve something from my suitcase.
Sure.
Be careful. Those are the ashes of my late father.
Ashes? Oh, for Pete's sake, I'm holding a dead guy?
My late father asked to have his ashes set before a shrine in Tokyo that is no longer there, but has been replaced by a store that sells candy shaped like cute animals.
Could you take this back, please? My religion says I can't touch human remains unless I want to.
So sorry.
Yeah, well.
Maybe I could make up for it by offering you a drink.
Why, yes, my kind friend. What do you got?
I have whiskey.
I ain't gonna say no. So, what did you say your name was?
I am the god of alcoholic spirits made from grains.
What a stroke of luck.
Are you also a god?
Man, there's nothing but God, am I right?
You're Butchie Spinoza.
I am.
I have been an admirer of you since I overheard you checking in at the Hotel Hilbert.
Why, thank you. I'm rather proud of that exchange.
Please honor me by visiting me during your stay in the realm of spirits and ideas.
Sure. Hey, I need to use the toilet. I'll be right back. What a nice guy. Hey, this is not a bad John. Maybe I'll just stay in here the rest of the trip.
What if someone else wants to use it?
Lou, what the heck?
I'm inspecting the bathroom.
But I'm using it.
Then I guess it works fine.
Can I have some privacy, please?
Sure. But you know, I have a weird feeling about this train. Like, I don't think it's a regular train.
It's not. It's a synapse.
What?
It's actually a synapse between neurons. It's a way to get from one memory to another one. One thought to another. Now scram.
I figured something was up because I was just floating around a giant guitar store in one of the cars and I figured real trains don't have that.
Very good, genius. Now get out so I can think.
Sorry.
How to survive your thoughts, memories, and experience. A travel guide to the unconscious by B.B. Spinoza. When traveling anywhere, either virtually or in so-called reality, one of the best things you can do is calm down, because it's probably less important than you think it is, and if it is important, you are probably going to mess it up regardless, because you're always lacking enough information. Thus, whenever you find yourself in an unusual situation, the optimum strategy is to seek a leadership position. It was just such a situation that arose when I found myself on a spaceship of some alien race that looked a little like my friends from wrestling. I immediately became their leader, as we traveled with no particular motive across the universe and beyond. Mostly across, just beyond that one time.
So, Butchie, are we going to do a suplex?
No, Exterminating Angle. This is not about wrestling. It might seem like wrestling, but this is actually about navigating through memories.
Okay. It looks like wrestling, so you see the confusion.
Granted. But what we need to do is develop a strategy for experiencing a thing, and then, in the absence of the ability to make sense of it, at least distill some feeling from it, to find the beauty or the amazement in the fleeting existence of the ephemeral.
Okay. So no suplex.
Well,
I want to bridge as I throw you.
Bridge. Bridge, yes, that's a perfect example.
Hey, Butchie.
Hey, Don. You're not a house.
No. I'm a bridge. I am stiff and cold. I'm a bridge. I lay over a ravine. My toes on one side, my fingers clutching the other. I have clamped myself fast into the crumbling clay.
Oh, that's Kafka.
Yes, I'm not only a bridge, I'm Kafka's bridge.
How about that?
Question.
Sure.
So, I'm barely holding on here, and not long ago, someone walked across and they inexplicably started jumping up and down right on my middle.
Jumping on a bridge? You're supposed to jump off.
Well, anyway, it weakened me greatly. Hurt a great deal.
Yeah, well, we all get hurt eventually.
Indeed.
Maybe by accident, maybe on purpose.
I understand. My question is this, though. So the story says, without falling, no bridge, once spanned, can cease to be a bridge.
Yep, you're a bridge until you're not.
Well, then what?
Well, then you're not a bridge.
Okay.
Look, the bridge was something you were in the middle of things. You were once not a bridge, and you'll once again be not a bridge. That ravine is your future, and that is not a tragedy. Tragedy is just the reality of the feebleness of our expectations. So you're not a bridge, and maybe you're nothing at all. What are you now?
A bridge.
And what am I?
No idea.
I'm a Caesar of moments.
You're Caesar?
Close enough. I am the Emperor of Mononoaware. I am the Appreciator of the Doomed. I am the Cloud Eater. I am the dance partner of ghosts.
And right now, I am a bridge.
You are a bridge. And I will let myself be in awe of your bridgeness. And then once I beat it, you can collapse all you want.
Well, thanks, Butchie.
Pass the Ducci jam.
Here.
Pass the Mike toast.
Here.
Pass the buck knife.
That one actually made sense.
Do you remember the first time we all went on the time machine?
Yep.
Nope.
Oh, of course you do. I'll never forget it. Hardy said, "You won't believe what I just got." And you said, "Some disease, I'm too naive to know what it was." And he said, "No, a time machine."
Don't remember.
And we asked, "How did you get it?" And he said, "I have no idea. It just appeared." But he knew it was a time machine because he had gotten in it and he went back a day and it happened again. And then he did that like a dozen times and then finally he came and told us.
Nope.
And then we went to a bunch of places like New Jersey in the 1800s. And also we visited Dorothy Kilgallen and the Emperor Hadrian. And I can't remember the other things because I'm past Lou and they haven't happened yet.
Why do you say you don't remember, Butchie? It's not that I don't remember. I'm just opposed to talking about it. Remembering just for the sake of remembering seems like nostalgia. I remember out of necessity, like when I need to find my knife because I have to stab a guy.
Well, I like to remember things. That's all I have are memories.
Try living in the moment.
I do that. I just don't pay attention until much later.
Try being present. Instead of storing things away like a chipmunk filling its cheeks, eat your nuts now, like that coffee. Are you just drinking it to wake up?
Sorta.
Savor it. Think of the beauty of the coffee and its transient nature. It's hot, but only temporarily. It's just the right acidity, but after it sits a while, it'll be undrinkable.
Well, not undrinkable, just nasty.
Put away your recording devices and your memory making and experience the coffee. Let yourself feel. That seems unlike you, Butchie. Well, this is the way I am in dreams.
This is the George Howe Program. I'm George Howe.
We all have impressions of the world around us. Whatever the limitations of our senses, we interact with and react to the world, for the most part. Even the simplest of creatures does this. It's a journey. But most journeys, well, they have resources you can consult. If you're going on a trip, you can buy a guidebook for whatever destination you've chosen. But is there a guide to your inner life, your unconscious? Yes, yes, countless guides. But today we introduce you to another one. And the author of that other one is with us today. His book is called How to Survive Your Thoughts, Memories, and Experience, A Travel Guide to the Unconscious by B.B. Spinoza, better known as The Guide for the Suplexed. Butchie Spinoza, thank you for being with us.
Thanks, George.
Butchie, why write another book about human experience?
Well, it's not literal. I'm on a journey through my own mind, my own life, my memories, and like it or not, I'm creating a sort of book, a volume, that I will consult whether I know I'm doing it or not. It's the total of my experience, and my mind longs to make sense of it. So I am now inside my head making sure that I have an overarching philosophy, and that is that all of this is on a canvas of emptiness. My life is carved out of nothing, painted on nothing. And the appreciation of the details as a subtle undertaking requiring giving up expectations and ceding control to the unknown.
Why, that's fantastic.
This is a discussion with a time traveler, with Robert Rogers on Edison Records. I am standing here with a time traveler from the distant future. He has arrived here in a time machine to deliver a message to mankind concerning his survival and seeking to edify those of us in the present as to the consequences and how they may unfold in the future. Time traveler, what is your message?
I don't know, man. Please be aware of the moment and notice things so that you can predict the outcome of your actions, but also to gain deep appreciation of every second of your brief lives, and so you can experience some joy. The end.
I'm so glad you went back in time to get the version of me who's still a real estate agent, Butch. No problem, Don. I think this is a fabulous time to purchase a new mind palace. It's a buyer's market for sure.
Well, price is no object.
Fantastic. Well, what I'll be doing, of course, is showing you two mind palaces that I know are awful, and a great one slightly out of your price range to force you into spending more.
I already know that. This is my mind.
Oh, right. Anyway, this is a fabulous mind palace. It has almost countless rooms. I mean, there's a finite number, but still so many you'll never use all of them if you just have a normal amount of ideas.
What's this room?
This is the Grand Foyer, where you
sort of plan the organization of your memories, and then all the rooms join to this one. So let's say you wanted to store and recall a short story by Franz Kafka. Oh, like The Bridge. Great choice. Well, we might move into this art and literature area and construct an entire bridge in here, water and all. All the details of the story could then be made concrete for easy visual recall. That sounds perfect. In that story, though, the bridge is sort of anthropomorphized a bit. Well, someone you know could stand in for the bridge, and every time you came in here, that image would be a concrete symbol. You could walk on it, touch it. Very handy. I love it. And all the rooms, they never far away? Like I said, they all lead to this grand foyer. Fantastic. City or county trash pickup? Not applicable. No trash here. The less desirable memories still go into rooms, and you don't ever have to see them unless you want to summon them up for some reason, but they stay here. All right. I think I'd like to make an offer. Wow. Exciting. I'll get a contract.
We aren't literally on a plane right now, are we?
Nah, this is just a plain memory of mine.
Oh, good. Because I didn't pack a bag. And even if I did, I might have put a shampoo bottle in it that's too big for my carry-on, and then bam, I lose the shampoo. Right in the trash.
Yep.
I feel safer knowing I'm not the only one who doesn't have a full bottle of shampoo. If some people did and others didn't, that's an unfair power balance.
Yep.
Does your airplane trip memory have good movies?
Not sure.
I bet they're weird and unlike actual airplane movies. They're listed by directors. Robert Bresson. Ooh, O Hazard Balthazar. Mouchette, that one's harsh. Ooh, A Man Escaped. Let's see. Alain René, Last Year at Marienbad. Muriel. Oh, there's Jacques Tati movies. Playtime. Oh, Monsieur Hulot's Holiday. That's a goodie.
Just watch something. I'm trying to think.
Man, I love this guy. I bet some weird visual misunderstanding will take place.
Just watch the movie, please.
So, is this plane trip another synapse?
No, this is an actual memory. I'm trying to feel what I feel on planes, which is a resignation, the feeling of my fate being way out of my hands, and the idea of going from one place to another when there's a distinct possibility I may never get there. And I'm in the air.
Floating through the air, like a soul, or a feather, or a shoe.
A shoe?
A shoe floating through the air.
How can a shoe float through the air?
Well, both of mine are doing it right now.
Yeah, in a plane.
That is in the air.
Okay.
I get what you mean, though. I wish I could summon up certain feelings. If I stored them better, maybe like in a thought museum.
Or a mind palace.
Or a mind baggage carousel. I bet Monsieur Hulot could do something funny with that, like wrap the wrong mind bag or something.
Could you please wrap your neck pillow around your mouth?
I'll take the hint.
Do.
I will.
Do.
I do. We're now married.
You are so lucky there's a no-stabbing rule on modern airplanes.
Oh, my gosh. Look at that crazy car Monsieur Hulot has.
Where are we going to, Butch?
To the airport.
Where are you headed?
Nowhere.
Nowhere?
Yeah, I'm just trying to retrieve a feeling that's difficult to articulate.
What is it?
It's a subtle appreciation of the fleeting.
Well, that was a pretty good description.
Yeah, but that's not it exactly.
You have everything you need?
Let's see, I got a book of Kafka short stories, The Guide for the Suplexed, that's my new book. I have a half-eaten donut, a small scrap of paper, a wax cylinder I made while I was time-traveling, a radio so I can hear myself on the George Howe show.
Sounds like you're all set.
Let me ask you a question.
Sure. I'm not sure I'll know the answer since this is your idea of me and not the actual me, and also I'm an idiot who thinks he knows everything and I smell, and I lied that time when I said I bought toilet paper when I hadn't because there's no way Spiny ate it.
Well, I'll ask anyway. Do I appreciate things?
I think so.
Be honest.
Well, what do you mean by appreciate?
I mean, am I present? Do I understand the importance of things or the rarity of experience?
How would I know?
Exactly, you wouldn't.
Well, there you go.
Only I know that.
Yes. Who's the book you're writing for?
Me, of course.
Uncle Hardy, read me a story.
What kind of story do you want, nephew?
Well, maybe you could read me from Uncle Butch's new book.
Oh, okay.
The Guide for the Suplexed.
All right, I got it right here. I'll read it to you. How to Survive Your Thoughts, Memories, and Experience, A Travel Guide to the Unconscious by B.B. Spinoza.
Are there pictures?
No. I'd hold it up and show you if there were pictures. When traveling anywhere, either virtually or in so-called reality, one of the best things you can do is calm down, because it's probably less important than you think it is, and if it is important, you're going to mess it up regardless because you're always lacking enough information. Nephew? Oh, he's fast asleep. Look at him. Oh, my friends, I'm so glad you're with me. Oh, Butchie has written a book, and he's trying to organize his memories. Memories are strange things. I visit mine all the time. I go through them. They're like a box of old scraps of pieces of things you found, broken rocks or old pennies, and they have in them some sort of thought that's connected to other thoughts, and you can find yourselves going back to places, going back to events and people. They're like words. Words remind you of something. So you see the word table and you think of all the tables you've known. You see the word desk and you think of a table. Well, it gets confusing. But objects are like that too. And memories, oh, memories hold the key to everything, don't they? Are they immutable? Do they change? Of course they change. For instance, I have memories of my uncle. And you say, well, that can't change. Your uncle is your uncle. But it turns out my uncle was a spy. No, not really. Actually, he wasn't my uncle. He was an actor who had replaced my uncle. It's like on soap operas sometimes. They'll say, playing the part of Mike Smith is now Tom Delaney. And that's because something happened to the other actor, and so you're supposed to willingly suspend your disbelief. Happens all the time in reality. Some things aren't just the way you remember them. You've made these memories, and they're not set in stone. What are they set in? I kind of dough, something like that? Play-Doh? Is that edible? Is Play-Doh edible? I think it is. I think that's why they give it to children, because they know children want to experience things by all their senses. And so they'll put things in their mouth, like pennies or poison or blowfish. And you say, well, don't do that. That might be harmful. But the mouth is very sensitive. And so you always want to, I see things all the time, like if I'm going car shopping, and they'll say, here's a brand new car. And I'll say, this is wonderful. May I lick it? And they say, no. I said, but I think I'd get a better feel for the car if I were to put my lips on it. And they go, well, that's really not what we want you to do. I don't know. That's why I don't buy a lot of things online, because you can't rub it on your face first. And sometimes with like books or things like that, I'm going to say, I wonder how it feels against my skin. And I won't know that just looking at a picture of it. The same with a memory. A memory, I can't feel it anymore. I can't smell it exactly. Now, smell memories. Oh, that's a thing. Sometimes there's an odor. And that has a bad connotation. There's a fragrance. Ah, that has a nice connotation. The fragrance of rotting flesh. No, that's an odor. But sometimes there'll be a smell. That's a fine one. There'll be a smell. My grandfather used to say, you smell, but good. I go, I don't know what that means. And it will trigger something, it'll trigger a memory, and you'll go back to that place where you first smelled that thing. You'll go, oh, I remember this. I'll go into someone's house and I'll go, I remember this smell. It smells like the bus station I worked in when I was 15. And they go, excuse me? I'm just kidding. I had someone come over to my house one time and said, your house smells like pork chops. I go, I don't even eat the pork chops. I don't know why that is. Yeah, your house smells funny to me. Thank you. Well, you're not going to have to be uncomfortable about my funny smelling house anymore, because I don't think you'll be invited back. I want people to lie to me a little bit like that. I don't want them to be too honest. Don't tell me everything. First of all, you don't know everything, so don't tell it to me. You're not probably even sure what you feel about certain things, are you? And here you are volunteering those feelings to me. Oh, my goodness, I keep a lot of things to myself when I'm actually around people. People say, Hardy, you talk so much on the radio, and then when you're together, you don't say anything. I think, well, I'm all done. You know, it's like giving a urine sample. He said, I went before I came to the doctors. I honestly did not have to go. I say, well, drink something, and then we'll be able to get a urine sample. And I go, no, it's not that important to me. What is it for anyway? And they say, I don't know, diabetes or something. I go, okay, for that, I think I can pee. But I don't always have something to say all the time. Maybe I'm not thinking all the time. Sometimes I'm just experiencing things. When I go out into a woods on a nature walk or something like that, there is something in me, something modern, that compels me to maybe take a picture. So, ooh, my friends on Instagram are going to really like this beautiful moss. But you know what? It really keeps me. I know this is a lot of people say this now. I still take pictures. But something, it keeps me from fully forming a memory, because I know I'm just going to make this kind of fake memory, a picture, and I'm not going to experience it. Because along with these memories that we make just using our imagination, just using our brain, comes these other aspects of things you felt at the time. You know, you can't look back at a picture and imagine, oh, I remember I was worried whether I'd turn the gas off at the house or something. I remember I was looking at that moss and I started imagining that we're little people, that were little elves or something, that were darting in and out of these rocks. And I thought I would be fascinated by it, and I thought I would be amused by the little elves, but really it was just terrifying, as it was if I had seen human faces on a crab or something like that. And instead of it being a fantasy, it was something horrifying. And I thought, here is some object, some race of beings there crawling around among my feet that I don't know anything about. And there's no terror like the unknown. There's no terror like there being some sort of world that you're unfamiliar with, that's right there, that they're maybe living in the walls. There's some kind of tiny puppet people from another planet that are living in the walls right there behind the drywall, right there behind the plaster, behind the lathing. They're living there and crawling around. And they've got little human faces, and they talk like this. No, I think that's something I imagined when I had a bad fever, had the flu or something. That did happen as a child. I was laying in bed, and I had some sort of horrible fever vomiting thing, the way that children get them all the time. That's why I love being around children. But I always have on, like, say, a kabuki mask and a ventilator. And I was laying there in a fever, and everything was sort of spinning, and I was looking at the ceiling, and the ceiling, we had that popcorn, it's like a foam, they call it popcorn, it's a kind of a foam texture that makes your ceiling seem prickly and uninviting. That way, if your house inverts, you won't be tempted to walk upon the ceiling, like a sort of Earthbound Poseidon adventure scenario. So I was looking up at the ceiling, and the pattern, the splattered pattern on the ceiling started moving around and dancing. And I saw the little things were moving. And then I heard this little chattering, like demons chattering as I saw this stuff moving around. And I was thinking, oh my goodness, I think that there are college kids that take drugs to have this happen to them. And here it's happening to me. And the only thing I'm experiencing is great deal of pain in my head and constant vomiting. But again, sometimes that happens when you say, oh, I want to have a mystical experience. Well, I recommend some horrible childhood virus. That might do it. Get you thinking in a different way. No, older I get, the more I kind of prefer a lack of pain. Maybe that's not adventurous. But there's so many simple things now. I get more simple pleasures. What kind of simple pleasures? Simple, I like my friends simple. I'll say to them, the reason that I think we're friends is that I find you very simple. A lot of times they're insulted. And I know, no, I mean simple, like the fella that met the pieman going to the fair. And they say, you mean Simon? Yes. What about him?
Well, here's the thing. Was he going to the fair? Was the pieman going to the fair? Were they both going to the fair? Were they going opposite ways? Who was going? The way I always imagine is it was the pieman. Simple Simon met a pieman going to the fair, like that. And Simple Simon was actually leaving the fair. It's like, I don't want to, you know, I'm leaving now, but I would like to taste your wares. My what now? Your wares. What is that? That's your pies, the pies that you were carrying. And the pieman was carrying pies in a sacks. Seven sacks, seven cats at seven kits. Kits, cats, sacks, pies. How many are going to the fair? And so, I don't know about that, but you're welcome to take a big swig of my St. Ives. A lot of those nursery rhymes that we learned as children, I had them in a book. My mother said, here, I found them all in a book. Now I don't have to go around memorizing them. And you may read them, and I will teach you how to read. And then when I teach you how to read, you'll be able to sort of store your memories externally. You won't have to memorize everything. Our ancestors, before the written word, our ancestors would have to memorize stories. Say, tell the story of the white buffalo ghost. Ah, give me a minute. And sometimes they'd forget, you know, they'd have to make things up. And the white buffalo ghost flew to the, the eagle witch. Well, that's not how I heard it the last time. Okay, well, whatever. Well, this way, it would never change. You could put the story down and it would stay that way every time that you read. Now, what fun is that? I happen to like a little bit of forgetting. I forget all the time. I forget what I'm going to tell you. They end up telling you something different. If I remembered what I was going to tell you, then I wouldn't tell you the thing that I substituted telling you, which may be more important. That's how it works. So forgetting is important. That's why I think that they'll never come up with an adequate artificial intelligence. AI. Oh. So they'll never come up with one because a machine doesn't know how to forget and doesn't know what to forget. Forgetting is random. You know, you get a hit. It's like in the cartoons, you get hit on the head and you forget something. And in soap operas, a lot of amnesia. But you forget things. You don't have to have amnesia to forget. You just forget. So remember who was at your 40th birthday party? No, I don't. Refresh my memory. You go, I can't refresh it if it's not there. All right, well, just tell me and I'll just believe your memory. But all the time we forget. And then that forgetting really shapes our lives and shapes the way we encounter things and we deal with things in the present. It's not just what we remember. It's what we've already forgotten. That's just as important. It's not just about it's about the space, right? It's not just about the notes. It's about the space. It's about what notes you don't play. There's got to be space, or it's just a cacophony. Or some genre of music where they don't leave any space. I mean, that happens too. I'm going to tell you, that's just fine. There's all sorts of art forms. There's all sorts of ways of expressing ourselves. So the space doesn't have to be acknowledged always. The abyss doesn't have to be acknowledged. Nothingness doesn't have to be acknowledged. It is so powerful. It's waiting there, just waiting for you to stop. It knows that you got to stop eventually. You can't play that song forever. You can't live that life forever. You can't have that thought forever, and nothingness is waiting there for you. Oh, it's the canvas on which things are written. How can a canvas be nothing? I don't know. Isn't that interesting? How can you write something upon an empty space? You just have to have something there, don't you? Oh, I don't know. That is the beauty of the human mind. Well, the human mind, there's something there. Yes, there is. Electric meat. It's an electric meat inside your bony little room, your skull there. And it's sparking. Can you imagine that? Imagine like buying a piece of liver or something at the liver mart. And you get it home and there's little tiny lightning bolts going through it. And you say, what is this? That's a brain. I thought it was a liver. No, it's a brain. Look at it. I wonder if it's thinking things. How would I know? Do I plug it into something? I don't think they make the cable for it anymore. Yeah, it's got to be all attached and wired in there. You can't just take one brain out. Do they have brain transplants? Even if they did, I don't know that that would be a good thing necessarily. Maybe they'd wipe them clean, though, before they gave them to you. Like a computer, when you buy a used computer. Yeah, it doesn't have the previous owner's pictures and things on it. Oh, what good is it then? No, but you can put your stuff on it. It is slightly used. It's an older brain. Mine is an old model now. People being born now have the up-to-date model. I have the older one. I don't mind. A game for me is like Pong. Not literal Pong, but whatever the equivalent is of things that go on in my head as opposed to one of these souped-up machines that the young folks have that they're thinking with. Oh, yes, my thinking was much, much different. Maybe much slower. I think I thought more slowly. Things took a while to sink in. And I couldn't have constant reminders. For instance, if I saw a show or something like that, like a Three Stooges short. Let's say I saw a Three Stooges short, and I wanted to remember it. I had to remember it. I couldn't go just click a button and see it again. It could be months before I saw it again. And so I had to pay attention. I had to sort of memorize it as I was watching it. Same with every sort of TV show. There was no way to just get it on demand to see it again, to go online and bring it on up. Once I saw it, it was gone. It was like some event. It was like watching a traffic accident that there's no record of. You just either remember it or you don't remember it. And it was a challenge going if there was a fun show on or something, and you wanted to go quote it the next day to your friends. You had to really pay attention. I remember that this is not a lie, and this is kind of a stupid confession, but I remember there was a lot of buzz about Robin Williams' new show, The Mork and the Mindy. The Mork and the Mindy? Master and Margarita? Mork and Mindy is based on Master and Margarita, very loosely. Very, very loosely. But, so that show is, I think everybody knew who he was before. I don't know whether I had his album before the show, but I know there was buzz that he was going to be on the show was going to debut. So I remember watching this already. And it came on us watching it, and I had a notepad with me. So I could write, I'm going to write down all the catchphrases. And I remember writing down, nanu, nanu, or something like that. I go, nanu, nanu, I'm going to go to school tomorrow. I go, nanu, nanu to everybody. Things like that. I can't remember what the other ones were, but that's when I'm a nanu, nanu. I won't go say that. But I had to write it down. I couldn't just search, what does Mork say? And that was the reality. And I'd forget things. I'd remember them wrong. Still do that if I hadn't seen a movie in a while. It's happened frequently. Say, yes, I remember this scene in the movie. And then you watch it again and you go, wow, it was nothing like that. Where did I get that? Was your brain interpreting it? Very strange and wonderful. I know that this has happened with music shows. I was in a band for a while. And play these shows. And sometimes you'd have success, right? And the audience would love it. And other times, maybe not so much. But I remember maybe one particular show where I just thought it was wonderful. Like the audience was really into it. And I just felt like every song was inspired. It's just pouring out of you, and everybody's jumping up and down. Their faces are so excited, and the energy's so great. And somebody was recording it on a video recording device, very early, kind of large ones, where you stick a whole VHS tape in it, like that. And they recorded it. And I said, I'm going to watch this later. This is brilliant. I watched it later, and it was absolutely horrible. All the songs were played wrong. It was just the sound was terrible. There was just, it was unimpressive in the extreme. And then I realized there was something more going on. It was about being there. It was about some energy. It was about all of us agreeing that we were going to have a good time. It was agreed upon, unconsciously, unspoken by all those people there, that we were going to feel joy, that we were going to delight in each other's presence. That whatever the music that came out, it was going to be the best music in the world. Right? That's a Jack Black song. So I won't remember. It's the best song in the world. This is just a tribute. Doesn't remember the song. It's like when you dream something. I dreamt the most incredible thing. That I had the most incredible idea. And all I am left with is the feeling that it was incredible. I don't remember the actual idea. Oh, feelings, impressions can be wonderful. Sometimes that's what it's all about. And if you see the thing and you break it down objectively, you say, where is the magic in this thing? There is no inherent magic in it. It was something I wanted. Dreams are like that. Beautiful memories are like that. Weddings and bar mitzvahs are like that. All these parties that you go to are like that. Sometimes we even drink so we purposely misremember things, or the information is distorted, or we feel some euphoria that has nothing to do with reality. Oh, I hope it's the way you're listening to me. I hope, you know, I get awfully nervous that you can go back and listen to that. I think I'll listen to that show again. Because you'll never be the same person you were when you heard it the first time. You've moved on. Time is like that. Time is weird. And so when you experience something or hear a song, and it's the moment that's beautiful. Now, how do we appreciate that? Just recognize that you don't have to always be time traveling. I got a time machine. Do I always use it? No. In fact, Hardy, you haven't used it in a while. That's right. I don't always need to. I don't always need to go into the past. I don't always need to go into the future. Sometimes I don't know what's going to happen, and I don't remember what already happened, and it doesn't matter. Sometimes the present is enough for me. Sometimes I am content with forgetting details. Sometimes it doesn't matter. Every meal is like that. Oh, you can take a picture of a meal. People do it all the time. Look at this food. Oh, it looks... You know, I guess you had to be there, because to me, it looks vaguely like throw up. But I know to you, it was this beautiful stew that you go, yes, it was cassoulet. All right. Again, it looks like a clay bowl full of vomit. But I know that I've had cassoulet, and I know it's wonderful. And perhaps if you had conveyed the experience in some sort of poetic terms, I would understand better, because this actual representation of the cassoulet is not doing it for me. That duck fat. That's the key, John Wick, duck fat. And it's not going to mean the same thing as when you're there. Oh, I hope that we have these experiences together. Maybe we do. That'd be wonderful. It'd be wonderful if you so misremembered me and everything I've said that it comes out being a lot better than it actually is. I don't remember any of the uhs and the ums. I don't remember you stuttering, Hardy. I don't remember you grope grasping for a word. I just remember thinking, yeah, that's the way I feel when I'm walking in the woods. That's the way I feel when I'm at a party. You know, even uncomfortable situations and things can be very memorable. I have some of the strongest memories I have are being in places I didn't really want to be. And why I've remembered them, I don't know. They're not unpleasant memories. For instance, to say, a friend will say, I really want you to come to my high school award ceremony. And you go, oh, okay, I'm so proud of you. So you go to the high school award ceremony, to the big gather hall. I call that, what they call, you know what I mean, the big auditorium. And you sit there in the seat and you say, I can't wait till nephew comes out, even though I'm not talking about nephew, he's younger than that. But sitting there waiting for the high school awards, and it goes on and it goes on and it's interminable. And then, your young friend gets a high school award and there, and she's gone. And then more, and then more awards, and then more speeches, and it goes on and on for hours, and it gets hotter, and the air gets closer, and it gets harder to breathe, and you're sitting there, and all of a sudden your hernia belt's kind of riding up on you and digging into your leg, and you think, oh, This is horrible. But you do remember things. You, like, remember the lady from the Farm Bureau going on and on and on way too much describing what her organization does. You remember all that stuff, and it's kind of funny to you. You remember the kind of mean-looking white lady who couldn't pronounce anybody's names. That wasn't Richard or Debbie. And that stuff sticks with you, and you laugh at it, and it makes your life better, even though the experience itself was not that great. My niece's dance recital. I like dance, all right, but I don't know what kind of organization was teaching her to dance, but they were wearing these kind of sparkly onesies and top hats, and it was just, I couldn't bear it. I couldn't bear it. I like Fosse and things like that. I like, you know, Martha Graham. Is that right? Did I get that right? Is that, I got Martha Graham and Martha White mixed up. One of them used to kind of roll around in flour. Oh, things like that. And Twyla Tharp, is that one? Is that an intersection? But this was not that. And I still remember it. Oh, I love my niece. But I still remember the agony of it, and it's amusing to me. Things that go wrong can be amusing. But you'd never want any kind of videotape and watch it again. Oh, I don't want that. I don't want some real accurate record of things. I like vague impressions. I like having no guide to walk through my unconscious other than a sense of being there, of being there, and listening and watching. Even if it's not literal, I have lots of friends that have different senses and different experiences of life. All of our senses are different, and our neurology is all different, and we do experience life very differently. We have a lot in common, human beings, but we also have different struggles and different challenges and different ways of looking at things, literal and figurative. And so it's wonderful to hear them describe their experience to me and my experience to them. We can't always look at a photograph and agree on something. We can't always listen to something and objectively know what was going on. We all have our poems that are a version of events, and we all read our poetry to each other in the form of these impressions. And it's wonderful, and we connect that way. And maybe we have memories of a better time than we actually had. But every time, for instance, every time I see my friends in New Jersey, oh, I remember it. I purposely go there with the intent on misremembering things, making them way better than they could ever be. And that's fine with me. It's not expectations. It's not like I have expectations and then I'm disappointed. I go with no expectations. I just go with the plan that everything that happens to me is going to be wonderful. That seeing people, no matter who or however briefly, is going to be joyful and beautiful and a blessing. And I'm going to feel elevated by it no matter what. And I decide that beforehand. But I have no expectations about what specifically will happen. And it always works out good that way. So even if there's sadness or disappointment, it's part of the wonderful story and the wonderful memories and the wonderful forgetting, because I always forget. Oh, large chunks do I forget. That's why it's fun when you compare notes. You know, have everybody can, every experience is a Rashomon experience. Every experience is a, everybody's seeing things from different angles and remembering different things, depending on their perspective. And I love that, getting together with old friends and trying to remember a moment. Do you remember when so-and-so came over and they broke a glass and then they tried to shove it into the medicine chest and pretend they hadn't broken it, and then we found it a day later in the medicine chest, and we knew who it was, that it was Bobby had broken that glass and then tried to hide it. Yep, I remember that, but I don't remember it being Bobby. I remember it being Dave M. It wasn't Dave M. I'm pretty sure it was Bobby, but that's okay. It's kind of both of them. It sounds like something both of them would do. So it doesn't matter what the specific, fact was, or fact is. No, there are facts. There have to be. There's different levels of truth, of course. And some of them are practical. You know, there's practical truths. We need them to do science and things like that. We need them to have justice, you know. And then there's things that can be fudged that aren't important, unimportant facts, facts that don't affect anybody. Then you can make them up. Nah, I do that too. You know, I don't lie. I just know that I am probably relating something that I don't have a good grasp of or good memories of. So if you say, tell me about your childhood, I will. And what I'm saying aren't lies, but I dang sure is not the truth. I know that because it's this kind of weird impression, dreamlike version of what really happened, I'm sure. And I don't know how many people it would require to get an accurate version of something. Maybe there could never be one. Certainly, you know, philosophically, you could never account for everything that's going on, all the things unobserved or unmeasurable. You could never account for what was going on that you didn't see, and there's so much that you don't see. So if you were in a, you know, we went to that building, did you know what was going on in the walls? No. Did you even know what was going on in the next room? No. Did you know what was going on behind the couch? Behind the what now? See? You didn't know that? No. I didn't know until you just told me. Oh, yes. There was a tiny little people behind the couch. What do you mean? It's like elves. Elves. There were elves behind the couch, but not the kind of elves that you know of. And they're more like crabs with human faces.
Really?
Yes. And they were back there having a meeting, one of their annual meetings. They're very religious creatures, the human face crab elves. Oh, I did not know that. Yeah. So now as I give you, that change things? Does that change things? Would you have gone into that room if you had known that those secrets dwelled there? Oh, maybe not. Maybe not. Oh, I tell you what, I am so proud of Butchie for writing a book in his head. I'm so proud of his new mind palace and all that. I'm so thankful that you join me all the time to go on journeys with me, to sit and have discussions about things that are important and, more importantly, things that aren't important. I like taking flights of fancy with you. I like taking train rides of fancy and car rides of fancy and boat rides of fancy. I like fancy walks. I like walking fancy with you and talking nonsense and then making some sense. And then we can put them together and have a beautiful thing. If you take two disparate things and shove them together, you have a poem. Oh, my friends, thank you so much for joining me. You have been listening to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in Rockland County and New York City, New York, and online at WFMU.org worldwide. You can literally anywhere in the world hear WFMU if that's something that you would like to do. And it is. It should be. If you want to expand your mind, they are fearless proponents of human expression in all its forms. They're not out to make you do something. They're out to show you that the human mind can be diverse and surprising and wonderful. And there's no better life-enhancing knowledge than the dreams of your fellow human beings. Oh, thank you again for joining me this week and every week. And should the universe deem it acceptable, I will see you again next week. Bless y'all.